kom daar weer een keer. Kan hebben.
Dis donderdag aand en dit beteken natuurlik daar's net een plek om te wees en dis hierso saam met ons op die losgemaal. Cappie, toetsweek, Engelse toetsweek, my maat, die skote klap.
Yes, ja, dit is 32-12 sal hulle sê mos, né? Ek sê nogals nou en ek weet ons gaan later voorspellings maak en ek sien baie uit na dit actually. Maar ek sê nou vir my vrou, hoe lekker sal dit nie wees as ons hierdie naweek nie net wen nie, maar sommer daai selfe telling weer kan gooi. En dan kan ons met alle mag en mening altyd sommer net in die straat afloop en as jy Engelsman sê, sien of hy wil iets sê, dan, jy weet, dan kan jy nou rarig vir hom net sê 32-12. Jy weet, want I mean, 'n dubbel skoot op daai kan, jy weet, hoe kan jy dit nou, maar jy weet, hoe kan jy nou daarteen stry, sal hulle sê. Ons het natuurlik, het ons soos altyd 'n gas vanaand. My droom om nou te kry wie ons wou gekry het, het nou nie gewerk nie, so ek kan nou nie eens vir Hein gesurprise het nie, maar ons het nogal iemand baie spesiaal gekry, en ons gaan weer eens, in een week soos ek gesê het, gaan ons in een week twee shows hê wat ons Engels praat, so, welcome to the show, Gareth Mason, how are you doing, my brother?
Hey, Jacques, hey, Hein, thanks for having me, good to be here, doing well, thanks yourselves.
Only a pleasure and a massive honor to have you, You are a very well-known YouTuber on the topic of rugby, which we all love. And I mean, you've done some great work over the years and stuff. Just tell us what you're up to these days.
As you say, rugby is the passion. I love to talk it. Being a person with disability, I could never play the sport, so I decided to bring it to my heart and be able to use social media as a platform where I could share my passion for the game, thoughts, reviews, recaps, live streams, and all that, and just to show the guys that, you know, no matter what challenges you face out there, you can still live out your dreams, whether it's through a camera, whether it's through talking to people, gaining camaraderies amongst around the world, with you guys even. It's just amazing what we could do, and it's just pretty much to share my love for the sport, as well as raise awareness for people with disabilities on a personal side, and all that. And it gives me an opportunity to just to share my message as a fan, not really a pro in it, just to talk rubbish sometimes and talk good stuff and just enjoy ourselves like we normally do in front of the TV with a beer with mates. That's pretty much my goal with this whole journey that I'm on.
That is awesome, Gareth. I mean, yeah, I think what you just said there near the end, you know, talking rubbish. I think if you take our show's name, Die Losgemaal, then I mean, loosely translated, that could easily be talking rubbish. So, I mean, I know I are very well. Do quite well at that. Thankfully, we have a few viewers that tune in, and hopefully, you know, they will get more as time goes. And one day, we can hopefully, you know, stand next to, you know, stand tall next to you. One of your slogans, actually, you know, standing tall. So we're way off your mark at this stage, but we'll get there hopefully one day.
Of course, definitely.
Listen, guys, before we get underway. Please, if you've got your cell phone there and you're not watching on it, throw a message to your buddies to join the show now. And I think you're going to love tonight's show. There's some lacquer topics to chat about. And Hein, I think you can take us away on the topic of the world, probably.
Jeez, it gons al buite, as we say. It's going off on social. It's going off all over the place. I told you guys ahead of the time. I've seen a Keo video out. I've seen everyone that you usually follow has got an opinion. And I think even kind of just after that happened, Cappy, we all came out with our own opinions on the whole Rusty video and, you know, whether it detracted from the, you know, the series at that time, but obviously that's long gone, and now finally the whip's been taken out and he's taken a few lashes there. So Gareth, maybe take us away just in terms of both your thoughts on his actions and then the punishment for the crime.
Look, I'm two ways about it. You know, we're living in a world where social media is your key point of topic to get your messages and thoughts out there. You know, we've heard Eddie Jones, who's often done a little sly talk every now and then within the press and the media, and saying things that he always got away with. You know, social media is the other formation of modern media. So for me, for him to be able to express his opinion and topic of certain topics that I agree with and certain that I don't, for me, gave him every right to do that. I mean, freedom of speech. Mm. All he did was pick up a camera and share his thoughts with the people. Whoever leaked it, who knows? But again, it's another formation of media, as we are doing right now. We are talking about the sport. We're talking about rugby on social media platforms. It's the new generation. And for me, for Rassie to have done that, I thought was smart. I thought it was ballsy. I thought it definitely got the message out there. It definitely got the world speaking and are still speaking, as we noticed today. And, you know, how he did it, maybe he could have prepped it a bit with his management team and media team instead of maybe just doing it. Certain things, I don't think slating the ref as the way he did it was quite right, because, I mean, these guys obviously do have a job and they are human. They do make mistakes, whether we like it or not. But for me, he was 50-50 on this. So part of me agreed with it, part of me didn't. But as for the punishment, I thought was just harsh, in my opinion. I mean, what's it, 2-3 months, no rugby at all. He's not allowed to be a part, and then he's not allowed to be seen in a stadium with the box till September next year. So I don't know. Maybe it's World Rugby's way of just getting Rassie away so England could do something on the weekend. I mean, they obviously are scared of us causing drama, as Bill Beaumont, who I think is too old to even be there, and all those guys. But it's a tough one. It's sad for SA Rugby because of, you know, Russ is a big influence to this team, whether you like him or not. And he's been an inspiration. And the fact that we're losing him, I think, is sad. But it's also kind of good in a way for Jacques to take full-on authority now and to be seen as the head coach and the limelight, because we've been seeing Russie talk most of the time. He's on his mic, he's on the floor, he's on the water boy, he's wherever. Now I think it's not a good time for Jacques to take center stage and to show what he's made of, and that he is actually head coach. But 50-50, I think. Let's put it this way. If it was Eddie Jones or Ian Foster, Robbie Deans, I don't think the shit will be hitting the fan as much as it's hitting it now, with all due respect. So, yeah. I don't know, 50-50 for me.
Cappy, I have a feeling you're going to be less 50-50 and more 95-5.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think I've said what I think about the original video and all that. Obviously, now with the verdict and stuff coming out, I think there's like an 8-page document, if I heard correctly, which is made available public, which, you know, is quite strange, just like off the cuff, boom, there, it's available to the public, which normally, you know, the media goes out and has to beg for things like this to come out. So to me, that is already one statement. You know, it's like, yeah, cool, we'll put it all on the cards for you to see. Then at the end of this document, apparently all the emails that were shared during that time of which this video eventually came about, you know, was made public as well. And it's a complete throw Rassie under the bus situation. And yeah, I am a South African. I am a Springbok supporter, and I am going to support Rassie. It doesn't matter what anybody says outside. And I think we spoke off air about it, you know, just briefly. The rest of the world is obviously happy for what has happened. They anti-Rassie. And I've seen a lot of tweets today doing the round, mainly from South Africans, responding to like Wales Online and I can't remember Telegraph and stuff like that, that had all, you know, anti-Rassie opinions, yeah, and articles. And then I saw the reaction of South Africans. And you know what is funny, and that is something that the world clearly doesn't know about South Africans, is that when the heat is on, we stand together. Mm. We've shown it in the World Cup, not once, not twice, three times. I think the best time we've ever shown it was in 2019. And now I think we're going to, the world is just going to see this thing come through even harder. You know, the world is taking on a man here, which most of South Africa has probably more respect for than any other South African. I won't mention names and stuff. And, you know, it's to think that South Africans are going to turn their back against Rassie. You're living in a different world, my friend. You know, this is what we call standing together or standing stronger. You know, pick whatever you want to go for. My biggest thing is I saw Nick Berry's statement. And let me tell you, off the cuff, what a joke. I mean, first of all, it's a whole page of repetitiveness. He just repeats himself about three times. And then on the other side, I mean, playing the victim card big time. And then thirdly, he clearly knows that World Rugby is going to back him. So, you know, he has nothing to lose. He can say just what he wants to.
Yeah.
And to me, you know what? That is, yes, I actually don't have the words. And if I do have the words, they would not be prescribed, you know, for even for YouTube. So, you know, I'm gonna be very reserved in that regard. But I think you're getting the picture. What I'm feeling like. I mean, one of the things that I said to a few people today is I would love Nick Berry to come to South Africa. I mean, I'm personally not gonna do anything. I'm not a violent type guy. That I won't be doing a pit fund sale or a, you know, whatever you want to call them. But I know there's a lot of other people out there that will do it. And so I'm sure that part of this discussion, or maybe the discussion will still happen between Mr. Berry and World Rugby, and he will probably ask them very nicely, please, would it be able that I do not officiate any way or form for the next few years, you know, around South Africa? So I would be shocked. I would be shocked to see him here in the next, 12 to 24 months. At this stage, that's where I'm standing. I've got a few thoughts in my head, which I might actually, maybe it's time for my fingers to find their way around the keyboard, you know. So I'm considering it, seeing as everybody is giving their opinion. And one thing that I'm not going to do is I'm not going to try and be a law expert, because I've seen there's quite a lot of people that has tried to be. Thankfully, there's also a lot of people that have done the effort and asked questions. And also then, again, there's a lot of people that are law experts and they've come with the answers and stuff. So, yeah, Hein, over to you.
Yeah, Cappy, I think there's a fine line between an old boys club, you know, doing their own thing and having ethos and tradition. And I think that's a little bit of the conundrum. Yeah, it's, you know, people are against it because it's Paul Beaumont and World Rugby and this anti-South African mentality kind of thing, which I think is half true and half bull. But I just, there's a certain way of doing things, and I don't think Rassie Erasmus did it in the right way. And I know sometimes people feel that you got to shake the system, but then as Cappy is a good example, are you going to pull Piet van Sel when someone does something wrong and take it into your own hands and be an idiot, or are you going to do it, you know, in a constructive way? And I think, I think he's getting punished for not doing it in the right way. And if some of the things are true, like the threatening and things like that, then that's also, you know, not a good taste. So he's going to have to defend that quite well. Obviously, I'm always on the side of officiating. I mean, you know, someone came out for Kearns, I think, there with the whole, then pack your whistle away and take a break if it's too much for you. Where are we going to be if referees keep on doing that? What are we going to play against each other with no referee at all or a TV ref? I mean, people have got to keep that in mind, that you can't just keep bashing refs or, you know, just having a go at them. Sometimes, you know, you got to realize that the human error, I mean, for instance, the video looking at 23 mistakes, the only way you can pick up a mistake of a referee is if you've got a body cam on, because you've got to have the exact view of the referee and not the view of the camera, because you could be seeing a guy who's railing, lying in there and just not railing away, and he's seeing a guy holding on because he's on the other side. So to me, it's it's a very fine line looking at things like that. But if you've got the systems in place of referee managers and things like that, and you can score the guys and you've got good scouting and things in place to get the proper refs coming through, I think that's where you can take on people and say, listen, you guys aren't doing enough to get new referees. You're not doing enough to train referees and that kind of thing, but not taking on referees per se, but that's my point on it, and I'm not gonna change. I love Rassie Erasmus. I love what he does. I love him as a man. I love how he thinks about rugby. But I think he's, you know, like so many of us around here, so many probably before him as well, he just gets a little bit over emotional. I think he made that little bit of a faux pas there, but it worked out in the series and it hasn't worked out long term. But back to the point, I think it's actually a blessing in disguise. You know, how good would it be that, you know, we use this in our favor? Rassie's got some time to just sit back, think World Cup, think, plan, plot, strategize. I mean, no one's going to have a cam up in his house for the next 2 months where he's not allowed to, you know, write any word that's got an R, a U, a G, or B, or Y in it and stop him from doing that. So he's going to be sitting there strategizing and planning. And as Gareth said, you know, what a time for Nienaber to just lose the training wheels a bit, get stuck in, learn, you know, a few things on his own. You know, they've been a unit. Just he's obviously still going to have him in his ear, you know, off time and that kind of thing. But I think it's a good opportunity for him to get some sun himself. And come World Cup, Rassie's going to be back and Nienaber's hopefully going to be stronger and the world could see an even stronger Bok team.
And I just came back on your talk with regards to the referee. Don't you? I mean, I fully agree with you, and 100%. The eyes of the referee is the ones that we don't see. We're seeing the television, so it's easy for us as fans or supporters to criticize him. Don't you think? Like, if we look at sport now in rugby, soccer, cricket, all that stuff, more should be given an opportunity for a captain to at least query a decision if there's a mistake or he can blatantly see something else. I know they're introducing it in the Aotearoa and all that stuff, but I feel, you know, the captains deserve a little bit more opportunity to challenge a call, whether it's on the side and all that. Not saying take away the respect from the referees to know how hard the decision is, but to give them an opportunity to, you know, they are human, they make mistakes. Yeah. I know we all do. But for me, just to give them the thought. So if Sears disagrees or feels, you know, I'm unfairly treated, yeah, look, when Jones is getting a little bit more treatment than me, go back on a decision, say, cool, TMO that, you're not listening to me, let's have a look at it. Don't you think more of that should be involved to give a captain a little bit more authority, with respect, but just to be allowed, hey, you know what, I saw something different, let's take a look at it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think like the New Zealanders will be first to tell you, being knocked out of a World Cup with a forward pass kind of thing, you get big moments. And as you said, you know, in cricket, you get a guy who's given out LBW on zero and or other way around. He goes on to score 100, but he wasn't given out on zero. It changes the whole game. So it is it's crucial not to get the big things wrong. As you say, obviously, interpretation is going to differ. He's going to make small errors in terms of that, as long as he knows his rules. But you don't want the big ones going wrong. And that's where they did have the trial there. I think the big one that came in there, I mean, we saw that all the Bulls and the Stormers, I think it was that game where Kitsoff used it 4 times and it was 4 out of 4 that he got his review right. It's, you know, the modern trend is trying to get speed into the game, fasten it up. And now you've got the review kind of thing and it's almost like it's, you know, slowed it down again. I think that's the thing that worked against that idea. I was also in favor. I also thought it was great. I was way back, I think it's 10 years now, they trialed it in Varsity Cup. They had the white card system. And I was like, oh, geez, this is going to be great. But, you know, you still get the opposite side of it where they were like, you could only do it where the call was made and you think it's an incorrect call. You can't say there was no call, so you want to, like, try and enforce it. So that way around. So it's like, you know, when the referee calls a forward pass, he's already called it. You can't uncall a forward pass. So that's the problem with that kind of thing, is there's always going to be that side. And I actually think there is still a little bit of that in the current game. I mean, you see captains almost force reviews onto refs by, you know, engaging in that chat after try and saying, you know, you can hear them in the voice, you know, like in the mic, they'd be like, oh, but did you check that forward pass, that kind of thing. So I still think there is like a little bit of that involved in the game. But as I said, I just like to see consistency. You know, when they do a try, always have the same, you know, 2 angles that you look at before you allow it. You know, don't have one kicker being able to take a quick drop and then you see it later, or, you know, that one try, who was it, in the Cappy in the Pro 14 or whatever. They scored that try. Who was it? They scored a try, and then afterwards you could see they knocked the ball definitely at Cardiff, I think, or someone like that. So it's obviously a tough one. As I said, I just want consistency when you go to the TV ref as well. You know, just say, okay, as soon as you go to the TV ref, it's completely the TV ref's call. Don't have this interaction where sometimes it's like the ref gets overruled by him. Other times he always keeps controlling. He's just like, okay, I see this. It's just, you know, if you go to the TV ref, let the TV ref take over. As you said, cricket, it's as soon as you go third umpire makes the call. So why not do that in rugby?
Yeah.
I just quickly want to check some of the Rian was asking about the new world, the next world rugby chairman election. I think that was
where Gus
missed out, and I think that was a big blow, because I think he was also going to be a little bit more, you know, energetic and change, yeah, and you know, that kind of thing. So that was a big blow, I think, for world rugby.
I think so. I think he was going to do quite a lot for the Southern Hemisphere, the Pacific Island teams, giving them an opportunity to really shine. Whereas Obermann keeps saying they're going to do X, Y, Z, but they've done pretty much nothing besides cause drama in the media. So I don't know. I think it's unfortunate, but it's another 3 years. There's no way he's going on for another stint. So, well, I say that. Stranger things have happened.
Definitely in this crazy jungle, anything can happen. I think, again, you know, it's like we've said, if you've got clarity, that's a big thing, and you just want to be able, you know, have different countries involved in, you know, not just this idea that it's almost Northern Hemisphere, New Zealand kind of setup happening. And that was the nice thing about Gus, is he would have just been someone from the Southern Hemisphere and a smaller union. That would have been great. But listen, Gareth, I think it's time. Let's focus on the game itself. Let's put this drama aside and look at the clash. Yeah. I get the feeling it's a little bit like everyone's talking about revenge. Obviously, there's a little bit of a change. The box have got a few out. England have got a few out. But to me, the build up is a heck of a lot different, especially for England. You know, they haven't been quite as well challenged maybe before this test, and the box on the other hand might be, you know, tired after all the challenges they've had.
I think that's 100%. I think we're going into this one, you know, strongly built and strongly experienced, which is unusual for us. Normally we get a bit of a whack, but so far we're actually looking good with the way things. Obviously, there's a lot for us to work on. But like you said, tiredness is definitely a factor. It's been a hell of an interesting year. I mean, we've watched our Currie Cups and all the provincial cups that have been playing. So the boys have been active. And then obviously the championship, the new championship over there as well. So they've definitely had time to really get some energy. But as for England, like you say, they haven't really been challenged. Australia, not really. Previous games. So I think South Africa could go up with an upper hand in this one, just from the experience of how we did against Wales and even Scotland. So I'm quite excited for this one. Obviously, revenge is the talk. The World Cup, the past results, Eddie Jones. You know, he wants to also silence the South Africans and tell us to all keep quiet. So I think it's in a massive, massive game for England this weekend, as much as it is for South Africa. Obviously, for us, we want to keep our names up. We want to stay number one in the world. We want to see all the positive talks going on. But England need redemption. England are in an odd state of rugby right now. It's not been the hottest form of games, like the Owen Farrells and all that. Really haven't stood out like they've done in the past. The Vinapola brothers. You know, there's some big names there, Curries, that really will want to shine this weekend and just say to South Africa, well, you may have got that one in 2019, but come 2021, we're going to whoop you. So I think it's going to be a massive game.
Do you think it's also kind of a big one just for the box? Obviously, you know, our approach usually is we don't care. We won the trophy. But do you think there's a little bit of, you know, England where we were celebrating after New Zealand, you just caught us on an off day kind of thing, and maybe some talk in the camp there is about they'd really like to do a 2-2 and just silence everyone and listen, it wasn't just a fluke, this we're the better team.
I think that's exactly it. I think it's extremely important from that aspect, because we've taken a lot of flack in the media, even when we won the World Cup. Oh, you shouldn't have. You're lucky. These units were the true challengers here. South Africa were just, you know, X, Y, Z. And I think it's an important one for the Springboks to really go in and attack these guys and win. And win solidly, or even if it's just a win. A good, successful one where we're playing tactically, where we're getting our handling errors right, where our discipline's on point. If we win and walk away like that on Saturday night, I'll be a happy man. And if we do it against a team like England, to silence their critics, who have been very critical against South Africa over the past years. I mean, they're loving this Rassie Rasmus story. They're loving when things happen to us and we get whitewashed. But you know what? We always come back and like, Jacques said earlier, you know, we South Africans, we stand together, we stick together, we never give up. And I think that's going to be the important aspect watching into it. The boys need to forget about what's happened in the media. They need to focus on the game. They need to focus on themselves and get things going, because it's an important opportunity for us to really put our names down and to show the world why we are world champions, number one in the world for so long, even though we dropped it here and there, but still consistent. And I think that's going to be an important aspect, to forget about the Aussie games that we lost. Focus on what's important, and that's ending off this year on a great note.
Looking to get stuck into the teams there, Cappy. I don't know your thoughts on maybe the Bok lineup. Obviously, it's any Ninaba Bok lineup. There's usually not too much to talk about in terms of team changes. I think
When the team was announced this week, I must say I actually made a tweet and said, so, you know, let's hear those thundering thoughts, I think my tweet said. And funny enough, it was pretty positive compared to the previous 2 weeks. So I think guys was like, finally, okay, you know, this is our team. We'll kind of accept it. I know Christian isn't too happy about it, you know, certain individual, but that's just one of those things, you know. we're not the Bok coach, but I mean, I must say, I thought Elton might get another go, but then thinking about it after seeing the team, you know, I thought, now, you know what, I like the way that they sort of, you know, the way they make up the bench for, and if you look at the opponents we're playing. So it's almost like when we are playing a very tough opponent, Ninaba, you know, tends to go with a bench where he's got big guns, knowing that he can bring on the big guns, you know, towards the end, you know. Like, I mean, I've been hopping on it now for a while. Andre Pollard to me is not on form. And I don't care what anybody tells me. You know, let's agree to disagree. That's my basically easy answer. I'm not going to fight about a player. I feel he's way off form. And he came on against Scotland this weekend. I mean, he made a hell of a mistake when he came on, which is unlike Andre Pollard. And I don't know how he's going to find the form that we got in 2019, you know, or that we saw of him, which was unbelievable. And I'm not saying Andre Pollard is a bad player. All I'm saying is he's not on form. There's a massive difference in just outright criticizing a player and just accepting the fact that he's not on form. It's as easy as that. And that's all I'm saying is the guy's not on form. I know Andre Pollard played for the Bulls for many years. I know exactly what kind of player he is. He's one of the best. And according to people, he is the best. But he's not there at the moment. And unfortunately, luckily, we've got Elton, which is not bad at all at the moment. You know, the few times that he's come on, we saw what happened against the All Blacks. We saw what happened against, was it Wales? So the guy is there and he's a good backup. No disputing that. So when I thought because of his performance, you know, against Scotland, I thought he might get another crack. But then obviously seeing it didn't happen, it was a straight out swap. The three guys, you know, that came in just replaced, you know, the guys that were there, they just went to the bench. So no big changes. The 23 is still the 23. But I think, you know, if a Pollard, for instance, struggles, I think when which yeah the third test against the Lions, perfect example when we saw, you know, Andre missing fairly easy kicks, you know, just bring on Morne Steyn and boom, the game was done. So I think we have that in Elton, where he is pretty solid with his goal kicking, especially compared to Pollard at the moment, which is a hit and a miss. You never know what you're gonna get. I mean, he did have one good game, I think, against Wales. He kicked pretty well. I think he got all of them over. Maybe one kick he missed. But, I mean, I'm happy with the team. I think this team can do the business. Like I said earlier, I'm quite excited for predictions. But that's probably more... When we get to predictions, I think it's more my head than my heart that's going to be talking. I don't know. We'll wait to see what the results are at the end of the day. But I think this team knows how to play against England. And I think when we look at the team, we will see that it's a massive difference to what was in the World Cup. There are obviously the key players there. But, I mean, I think one good sign was when early on in the week, I think on Monday already, it was announced that Owen Farrell wasn't playing. Which, in a way, is quite disappointing. I don't know. To me, it was quite disappointing. Owen just brings that, you know, after what happened in, what was it, 2018, everybody just wants to play against England to smash Owen Farrell. And, I mean, so he just brings that extra vibe to the game. And suddenly that's gone. And then, obviously, what's it, Jamie George is, you know, he's also gone, which is a massive blow for the pack. You know, they've got, I think, I'm just going to put it on because, I mean, there's some names in this England team that I have never seen, you know. So, just for starters, Bevan Rudd. I've never heard of this guy in my life. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think this might be his second game, his second test for England. I could be wrong. You know, so I don't know about front row, guys. Between our two, you know, our starting front row and our bomb squad.
A lot of names that I don't even know yet.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, let me just bring that, you know, put it on longer there. But I mean you've got in the positions where it matters, you know, you've got a Maro Toje, Johnny Hill, Courtney Laws, which is now captain, Sam Underhill, Tom Curry. I mean, just to quickly jump to the bench, you know, you're seeing the Sam Simmons there on the bench, so it's interesting.
No, Vinapolo brothers, eh? I don't know who the hell he is. I would have had Macca there just to get some power.
Yeah, you just said it yourself. There's names there that I've never heard of in my life. I mean, thank goodness Andy's not on the show because he'd be killing me probably now.
Well, I must say, guys, it is an interesting looking backline, though. I mean, it's the experience of being young and then the young excitement of Marcus Smith. And I think it's probably a little bit lots of weight on his shoulders at the moment. But, you know, him at his best, he's a mercurial player. You know, it's something you can't really prepare for. He's gonna bring something different. And then obviously, you know, Johnny May is Johnny May, and Manetu Alangi finally black. You know, he's a big ball carrier there in midfield. That's gonna be great seeing him back in action in a solid pair with Henry Slade and then Joe Marchant also getting a proper go there. So I mean that's a heck of a, you know, exciting looking backline that for England. So if they can get parity up front, it's going to be a pretty decent contest.
No, I agree 100% with you. From a backline perspective, you know, they're going to definitely be running at us. There's no two ways about this. The question is, what are they going to do to make sure they get clean ball? Because that's going to be tough for them. I can tell you now that the forwards battle is going to be huge. And I'm sure we're going to be trying to milk a lot of penalties there. I'm not always a fan of that idea, but that is the way of the laws, you know, it works out that way. And I mean, if you've got a pack in front of you that you can demolish, then if not, why not? So it's going to be fun and games. But
and I think Gappy, the other one that's
ball, they're going to be running at us like crazy.
The other interesting battle there is going to be the back rows. I mean, that's going to Courtney Laws move to flank. Obviously, that's to try and counter, you know, the physicality of the Springboks. And it's actually strange to see the, you know, that's their blindsider at six. So it's strange to see them almost playing with a big blindsider and the South Africans not. You know, it's not every day that happens. And then Sam Underhill and Tom Curry are obviously regulars, and they'll be the guys who have a point to prove. So it's going to be a heck of an interesting contest. I think the two back rows against each other is going to be a mouth-watering tussle then.
I definitely think Eddie Jones has got something under his sleeve, to be honest with you, with the differences on the squad. Because, like, now we're talking, like, certain players we don't know, certain players we do know, like the Sam, Courtney Laws, Tom Curry. I mean, even Johnny May is an outstanding rugby player. But all these other guys that are unfamiliar could actually come out and shock us and surprise us because we're so unfamiliar with them. I mean, not a lot of the boykies that are in our squad, because a few have played in the Premiership, but we'll be all too familiar with these guys. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. If I know Eddie Jones, I would have gone for the most dominant England squad ever to be seen, as far as he can. For me, this isn't the most dominant squad. So
yeah.
I think there's a trick under the sleeve that they're going to change England's tactics or have a different type of game plan that's going to try and baffle us. I mean, I'm already worried about Willy Leroux playing. They're going to target him because his weakness. You were saying about Andre Pollard. I mean, those are two big names that they could go and attack, especially when you don't know who these other blokes are, what they could do. Maybe their up and unders are better than ours, because we clearly can't up and under that well these days. So it's going to be interesting. Or are England going to play the running game and totally confuse us? Because I don't know what the weather's like in Twickenham on the weekend, but I'm nervous. I just don't care why Eddie's gone with this team. So I feel we're going to have he's got a chick up his sleeve. It could shock us a bit.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting thing, but England does have a knack of being sucked into a game plan, you know. So,
yes.
You know, it's like you say, you don't know what trick they've got up their sleeve, or are they going to come with, you know, counter kicks, or are they going to run at us? But we've seen many times that they try and beat us at our own game. Like, you know, a lot of teams try and deal with the All Blacks. And
yes.
I mean, Ireland got it right somehow. You know, they somehow did get it right. We know we can't beat them at their own game. That's why we've got our game. But our game is our game. So let's wait and see. But let's have a look at the BOC team, which, I mean, we're all pretty familiar with that. And guys, I'm quite curious to see how Marcus Smith is going to handle whoever's coming at him. I don't know who draw the lucky or who draw the shortest straw, you know. But that is a good thing if you draw the shortest straw, because I mean, that guy's gonna.
Riyad said Marcus Smith will become injury after Lewis tackle, so he's already.
In the week I saw Twitter, it was Eben. Did you guys?
I was going to say, I mean, this weekend we saw that old Finn Russell got one potentially just about in time, semi late from Eben, and I've got a feeling the old Eben will line up another one on the youngster. I mean, there's nothing like an early hit, or maybe Dwayne Vermeulen, and he hasn't collected some bones in a while, so maybe he'll give Willem Alberts a call and get permission to have a bit of a go.
Exactly.
I'd actually like it if whoever's getting that go, that he just has a pair of clippers with him. Eh? I mean, there's a hairstyle to be made there. Anyway, that's just my opinion. But yeah, I mean, guys, I think we've touched on the BOC team. I don't know if there's anything that you guys wanna say that you thought you would have rather gone for. I mean, I know I saw Fassian and Kosi. I mean, that's a bit of a weird one. Getting a press release saying that Fassian and Kosi has been released. I mean, guys, the BOCs aren't playing another game that I'm aware of.
They're
all released?
Well, I think they're all off.
I mean, that's a bit of a confusing statement that I saw. Was it today or yesterday? That Fassian and Kosi has been released back to the Sharks.
I think a lot of people maybe on the hopes that they would get a selection within this final game because of Vili's current form. I think maybe from that point of view, whether you're a Shark supporter, I do feel sorry for him. I think he deserved another go, Fassie. But whether England's the team to do it against, I don't know. With so much history and all that, I must say, I would have taken a risk. I would have put Frans Steyn in and put Vili on the bench just to put him under a little bit of pressure so that when he comes on, maybe it gives.
There we go.
I've always seen it with other sports. You know, you give these guys a fright, put them on the bench, they come back better than ever. And maybe him as an impact player could have changed Vili's game a bit. But Steyn's done nothing wrong. And I think deserved to be credited for his outstanding play for an old bunny like him. He's been remarkable. So I would have credited him. And like we were talking earlier, Yankees isn't one of my favorites, but Shubert, he's proved me wrong this past couple months. And he's really stood up to the occasion. His tactical game, his running, his passing, his kicking has been excellent. And I think he should have been rewarded. So I do feel sorry for those two. I think they deserve a starting position. And then bring the other boykies back on the bench because, they, like you said, Jacques, they're clearly not on form. And Vili's clearly not on form, in my opinion, either. So I would have just taken a risk. I think Creel was phenomenal in on the wing last week. I think he did. He shocked me, actually. I didn't expect that to come about. I would have probably gone with Nkosi, but the way Creel played last week, go for it. Keep playing the way you're playing because it worked. So overall, I'm happy with that squad. It's just I would have made the two changes within the fly-off and fullback. But other than that, I think this team definitely can do it.
I think if I was in Corsi's agent, I'll probably be suing Home Affairs because, I mean, his passport situation might have been cost him a Springbok career at this stage because it seems certain players, you know, you struggle to get them out of the team. Although Nkosi missed out, no fault of his own, and all of a sudden he's been pushed aside. I think that was a strange one to me. I don't know really why Ninoba was overly impressed with Jesse. I think he's done decently, but not to such a degree that I think Nkosi deserves to, you know, go back to the Sharks. Though it's a great thing that they released him in time. Beautiful stuff. Go get in camp and get yourself ready to be part of the weekend. I love that. Great call. But I find it strange that that Jesse is as I think defensively they were very impressed with him. Physically, I still think he needs to catch up on the defensive system and his role in there. So that's going to be interesting to see how he goes. But yeah, I don't know. To me, Jesse is I'd go for Nkosi. He just offers a little bit more ball in hand than Jesse Creel does. And I agree, Frans. I know he's such an integral part of the bomb squad, and I think they don't want to. I don't know mess with that, but I just think you get a different dynamic by having Frans Steyn start the game. He's got that big boot on him. You know, he can offer the 50-22 kicks as a realistic option. So you almost force an extra England player to fall back. I think Frans Steyn deserved a proper go there. That's someone's trying to stop Frans Steyn from playing. It sounds like.
I thought we were playing musical chairs with the internet. Yeah, it's just Garrett that needs to go now. But listen, I want to bring up another one is which a guy that did get lucky on this tour, which is Kobus Reinach, finally getting a starting chance.
Yes,
I mean for two weekends in a row now. I mean Twitter was going ballistic for 2 weeks in a row now. I mean with Herschel just struggling. Don't know what it is, but in all fairness, after lockdown, Herschel hasn't been the player that, you know, that I think he was during the World Cup. I don't know what it is. It's not a matter for me. That is a different one. It's not a matter of a guy that's out of form. I don't know what it is, but Herschel isn't Herschel. The one, you know, that became a Bock and that went to the World Cup. There's something lacking there. I don't know what it is. But, I mean, Reinach has bided his time and he's getting his chance this weekend. Is it a risky move? Maybe, like I said, with the whole thing with Elton moving back to the bench, you know, you've got a good backup player there. Should things go a little bit south, maybe for Andre. Should it, I'm kind of getting used to the idea of maybe if you only have two options, the one option is a bit out of form, the other one is not, rather have the in-form guy as your backup option. And I know people don't like it, but I'm getting used to that idea, actually. So are we risking a lot here? Are we expecting an 80-minute Kobus Reinach performance here? What do you guys think?
I think they'll bring the Yankees on. Last 20 minutes.
20 minutes, you reckon?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. As long as I don't do up and unders and run the ball properly, I'm happy. But it's going to be interesting. I've always liked Rob Corbis, and I agree with you. It's unfortunate that Yankees hasn't been showing the form that he's once started with. Maybe it's just something he needs to get through, to get the nerves, or just come back and play it. But yeah, I think they'll try and give him a bit of a go. It's going to be tough. But he's done it before. He's scored against the All Blacks. He's been there in integral parts of South African rugby in his short career. So I think Yankees can do it, but it's going to be tough. It's a big game this weekend. And I think, like you said, also, it's the biggest game of the year for us, besides the All Blacks. So we really need to take this one full force, and the guys need to be on form.
Yeah, I think it's Reinach's time. It's you know, he's bided his time there. He's played rugby up north now. He's playing with Polly at Montpellier. I mean, it's I'm pretty sure he's ready for this one. I think tactically it's still not his natural game. He's still more of a runner, but he's still tactically a better kicker than Herschel. I think they figured Herschel Yankees out. I think he's got a little bit of a technical flaw there with bouncing the ball before pulling it out. And I mean, that they'll find you out at international level quite quickly if you you know, start enough test matches, and they're going to put you under pressure. So hopefully a good game for Kobus Reinach. I think it's a good opportunity for him to wrestle that, you know, second position nine jersey into his possession.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, maybe we should...
Cappy, maybe are we just before we run into a final prediction for the BOC game, just do a quick one on what we expect out of the other games. Not a big one, but just how we expect it to go. I'll maybe start it off with... It's going to be a long day's rugby as soon as you... So you got to do all your chores early on Saturday, because as soon as it turns 5 o'clock, it's all over. It's
France All Blacks. I mean,
it's going to be Wales and back. Wales and the Aussies at 7-ish, I think 7:30 or something like that. But then,
Australia
going to get a whitewash? Yes, I think I'm giving it to Wales. I think Wales, they play the same style as us. I think they're going to be cagey, and I think they've got the grunt. The Wallabies, you know, that have arrived there in the Northern Hemisphere, is in the same team that beat us. So, to me, without Garevi, and I think Hooper is also not playing this weekend, so I think it's Wales all the way.
Yeah, I agree with you there. How do you feel, Gareth?
Yeah, I think Wales definitely. I think they've come up. They need to shoot up those world rankings. I don't think they're very happy at number 9. I think it is. So I think it'll be an important win for them to get over the Wallabies. And fortunately, the Wallabies just haven't found their winning formula yet. So I agree. I think Wales are definitely going to win probably about 5 or more.
I think their winning formula is sitting at home. That's the problem. which I still don't really get. But yeah, those things happen, I suppose. The other one, I mean, France All Blacks, that is
huge. I mean, it's Cappy, yeah. I think it's you said it's like the match of the tour or something like that, or the match of the weekend. But it's tough for the BOC in England to be the match of the weekend, because France and New Zealand is also going to be an absolute cracker. I actually think it's going to be three thrilling games there, so it's worth a watch. I'm definitely going to be owning the couch there from 5 o'clock. But I think, yeah, France and New Zealand, it's you know, you'd always say the Kiwis are going to strike back. They're going to be a big bounce back. You don't want to be the French, but geez, it's a different time for the French, and it's a different time for the All Blacks. They're not the same team that they were. Anthony Dupont is there. Oh, I'm hoping the French have one of those miracle games where they're all passionate and all want it badly. And I think, you know, with the World Cup around the corner, they're going to want to make an impression as well, I think. So it's I think France are going to France are going to sneak it. Betting man, it's again my favorite punt. France 1-12. Go find that one. It's going to happen.
How did you feel about your box 1-12 this weekend?
I was bittersweet, eh, Cappy? Bittersweet. I was like, come on, Polly, you're kicking fantastic. Have another shank.
Yeah, that was quite funny. When I was watching the game, I told my wife, wow, I must be hating life at the moment with that last moment. Jeez, that was a killer. I mean, that breaks any betting man's heart. But I can imagine old Brent. He must have been one of those guys, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, listen, I saw in the week, the last time was it 29? No, it was last year, in fact, I think, in the Super Rugby, not Super Rugby, what do you call it? The Rugby Championship, when we didn't take part, that the All Blacks lost 2 on the bounce.
Yeah, they lost to Argentina and Australia.
Jeepers, Australia and Argentina, remember? And now, I mean, they're staring down the barrel again. And I saw some reactions on Twitter of people that watched the breakdown. And apparently those oaks on the panel there, they were not very convincing or very confident, is maybe the right word, about, you know, New Zealand's chances. I mean, this is the kind of world we want to live in, where the All Blacks are stretching, guys. I mean, this is lack at times to be. You want to be alive when the All Blacks are a worried team. I mean, I'm sure no one will disagree with me there, except that obviously the New Zealand supporters. So this is going to be a really, really cool weekend. I mean, Christian, you've got Uruguay by 10. I didn't even know they're playing this weekend, so you clearly have your weekend schedule planned. It's going to be awesome. Sharks met 15. Yes, yeah. Let's build up on any cheetahs or who are they playing?
Cheetahs, I think.
Nice warm-up game cheetahs. For URC that gets underway next weekend. So, yeah, guys, are you ready to shoot?
Yeah. It's good. Interesting one.
So it's England versus South Africa, the first time since the 2019 World Cup final, which the box won 32-12. And now your hearts have to be on your sleeves, and we will see where your allegiance lie. I don't have to worry about that, but what will the scoreline be?
I think South Africa will win, and they'll go probably 28-22. 28-22 to South Africa. We'll win it in that last 10 minutes. A lot of kicking games, but then the tries will come. Yeah, something like that.
Okay, or that's 23. Cool. It's by 6. Fair enough.
Cool.
Hyde, what did you?
Yeah, Cappy, I think you see it at the top there. Go head over to bet.co.za and get yourself onto the double of South Africa to win and Wales to win. I think the two of them are going to get the job done this weekend, and then France 1-12. For a little bit of more value. Those are the plays for me. Box, I actually think it's tough. I usually show we just, you know, win it with 2 or 3 points, but I have a feeling England are going to throw it around, and that way, you know, it brings quite a lot of results into play. So I'm just settling on the box to win it. You know, they've seen every style. They've seen Wales and those guys play the same, and they've seen other teams try and run it at them. Obviously, we didn't quite cope with Aussies, but the rest we can handle, so I think we'll get the job done, whatever England bring to the table.
Okay, so Aina's not going to give us a score, which is fine. At least he's back in the box to win. I think, guys, I mean, the box owe us a big one. They haven't given us a big one in a long time. I haven't really done my homework as to when the last big one was. But jeepers, I'm almost thinking it could have been that World Cup final. And how nice would it be to finish this tour off after all this drama and stuff, especially this week, just to go and nail it properly? I'm gonna go box by 12. I'm in range with Heinz 1-12 bet there, although I'm hoping it's gonna be far more than that. It would be so nice. I don't know what Eddie's going to do if that has to happen again, because that will be that's like a killer blow almost. I mean, the last team Eddie wants him, you know, wants to get smashed by this stage in South Africa. You know, I think he's living he's living life on the edge at the moment at the RFU there. So, you know,
I think one thing we must also take note in for this weekend is that the importance for Eddie Jones for this game. We all say it's South Africa, which is great, and I agree. But, you know, like Eddie Jones made a slight comment the other day saying, this is an important game for Australia, as they've never hasn't done it in seven games. This is an important game for Eddie Jones. Because if he doesn't beat the Springboks, sure, I think his job will be questioned a few times. So I think
it has been questioned a few times already. So,
but now if he loses the game,
living life on the edge, Booker. Rian is here. Booker's a lucky squad.
The only good thing for Eddie Jones is at least he knows that now England will definitely not be getting Rassie Erasmus to come and coach them.
Well, yeah, in the next, 11 months or something, he's not available for nobody. That would be something. I imagine that. But yeah, guys, like I just mentioned now, we would like you guys to send us your predictions on Twitter. And we only got one. Bokum at 12. Oh, and then Rian is going crazy. 55-12, cheapest. Imagine that. That would really be the end of Eddie. There won't be any questions. He'd be fired before he even leaves the stadium. So, get involved. Go register an account at bet.coza, and you can stand a chance to win some betting vouchers. And follow our Twitter handle. What's it? At the Losgemal, and just make sure you see that logo, because there's another handle, but they don't exist anymore, unfortunately. Get involved with bet.coza, and you guys can win some free bets. There's quite a few up for grabs. And then next week between Christian and Rian, we'll see. We can get lucky. Rian already won last week. I think he was out by one or something with the Scotland Bok game. So, I mean, yeah, the guys are fighting hard for this, which is quite fun. Gareth, what a pleasure, my man. It was really awesome to see you.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Which is lovely. I mean, we all love this game so much, and this is what brings us all together from all sides of, well, in this case, South Africa. I mean, Nine and George, are you in PE, right?
PE, America.
Yeah, I mean, in Yamya and Joburg, where during the day we get so hot that it's scary, and then at night time it seems like the floods are on us. So yeah, the weather is quite a mess here. But yeah, it was such a pleasure to have you on our show. It won't be the last time, I promise you that.
That was awesome. Good to be on.
Thanks so much, man. En Hans is altyd, man, maar is lekker om jou te sien. Mag het 'n lekker rugby naweek wees vir almal. Rob, Tyler, haven't seen you here before, but please make sure you come back again. Probably one of Gareth's mates or followers.
Right. No, one of my co-radio presenters in PE as well.
Oh, lovely. That's lovely. I mean, yeah, please do pop in again or tell your friends. We're usually an Afrikaans show, so pardon the bad.
I share it on YouTube, so hopefully you guys will get a few new faces going forward.
Thanks, G. You're such a rock star, man. That's awesome. But yeah, all the regular guys, Christian, Rian, het vir any gesien op 'n stadium. Jy weet, almal wat ons saamgestel het, Jean-Dre, dankie vir die saamkyk. Floris, altyd. Manne, laat dit 'n lekker naweek wees, and let's enjoy the game for what it is, and hopefully we can all finish the weekend off with a massive smile and feel better about life again. This week has been another tough one for everyone. And yeah, be safe and
geniet hom. Well.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. En kom daar weer terug, kom daar weer. Let's go, 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 let's go,